Hey, everybody, welcome to the program. It's Saturday. Finally, we're back on Saturday. Back on the Saturday show for sports program, the sports program with Derek and Zach. Today we got NFL, college football. That's about it. No, man, there's so much stuff. Like, it's absolutely nuts. Out of the gate there, Zach, how's that fantasy team looking?
Oh, so since our last show, I had two more fantasy drafts, and I drafted Antonio Brown in the second round of both of them, which is going great for me.
Yeah.
Because he's on the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah. Well.
Wait. But isn't he, though? Things change very fast.
Yeah. This morning he was unemployed.
And now, as of like 15 minutes ago, he is where I ultimately thought a guy like him needed to end up. And I actually shouldn't even take credit for that. I have a coworker named Paul who said on Tuesday that he said they're going to cut Antonio Brown and he is going to go to the Patriots. And I said, huh, that makes the most sense out of anything.
Well, it does. They have a history with turning people around like that, though, too. So
yeah, they just really think they can fix him. And he's going to be... He's different now, guys.
He's different now.
He's changed.
I mean, I'll tell you what, he's not going to get away with anything. That's one thing. I mean,
no, he's not going to hurt them like he hurt John.
He'll have to go there and just shut up.
Well, and I'm sure that's why they didn't guarantee the whole contract, right? So it's $9 million for sure, but then like up to 15 million, which is what he would have made for the Raiders this year anyways. But it's a 1-year deal, and there's not all guaranteed, which says to me, like, there's some clauses in there where he's going to have to actually just shut up and play football, because nothing gets out of the Raiders or the Patriots organization. But doesn't it feel like after the video that got released and all this other stuff, because, I mean, he released that video with John Gruden, the conversation, like he wiretapped John Gruden and then put it public. Like, doesn't it seem like he almost would want to go there to see if he could push that organization to the limits?
Yeah.
Like, man. In their head, they're like, we can fix him. And in his head, he's like, I'm about to do something no other motherfucker's ever done before.
Yeah.
Yeah. They think they're going to fix a bad boy. Yeah. And he thinks he's about to turn a Catholic girl out.
I like that analogy.
Thanks. I just made it up on the spot.
That was good.
Thanks. You know, when we used to be on the school radio, I wouldn't have probably said that.
No, yeah, probably not. I could see a world in which you would not say that out loud.
Most worlds. I officially realized that not really any of my coworkers are gonna repeat any of this.
Yeah.
And even if they did, no harm, no foul.
So it was weird because yesterday we're hearing like he's playing Monday.
You know, right. And like, I put him back in on both my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Both teams. I'm like, let's move him back in. Yeah.
Like John Gruden's like, he's playing Monday. He's, he's misunderstood. He's not, you know, like whatever.
Right.
And then I apparently had this heartfelt, apology to the locker room. You know,
right.
So sounded like things are going to be okay. They might have worked it out. I don't know. I'm still skeptical at this point is where I am. But then he gets this fine. Another fine.
Well, he finds out about the fine and he finds out about the guaranteed money. Right. So he also found out that the guaranteed money's gone because they had him suspended during the time period where I think it would have been guaranteed, which is today.
Right. So he says, it was like a tweet. Or an Instagram post, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
No guaranteed money. I'm not playing. Release me.
Right.
And they did.
Right. Yeah, he... But you know what's kind of shitty? Is that realistically, who knows if he ever wanted to be there in the first place? He got traded there.
That's true.
So how do we not know that he just has... He got himself out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be there. He got himself out of Oakland. I bet he didn't want to be there. Now he is on the reigning defending Super Bowl champs team.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be there.
Yeah, I think so too. Although I did like your prediction that you'd sent me today, though. Right. I did like it, which you had said. You had said, you know, keep your eye on the Jets, basically, which made a lot of sense to me. You know, you get, so he gets released. You know, maybe you get Le'Veon Bell reaching out.
Exactly, because you know those two are still boys.
Yeah, and so when you said it, I was like, you know, and of course the Jets, you know, they're going to want to take chances right now.
I just, the main reason I actually said it wasn't just Le'Veon, it was just, I figured they had the money. I don't know where the Patriots always find this money is the real thing. I actually had them, even though when my buddy at work said that he thought that's where he'd go, I'm like, do they have $15 million laying around? Yeah. The Jets probably do. I can't think of anyone who costs that much money. And I'm pretty sure their best wide receiver is Robbie Anderson and his really sweet Coolio hair.
Yeah. I'm wondering how AB and some other players on that team are going to get along. Namely, their other, who's that other wide receiver that I hate?
Not Josh Gordon? Are you talking about...
Not Josh Gordon.
You are talking about Josh Gordon?
No, not Josh Gordon.
I think he's going to take a lot of Edelman touches. Like,
that's
a
the
lot.
One, Edelman.
Because I just feel like with Josh Gordon, they're going to need someone on the other side. Yeah. I get it that Edelman's occupying the slot. What this really is weird to me is that maybe they don't know what their how much actual playtime they're going to get out of Josh Gordon. So maybe he's coming in to be the number one, because why would you draft N'Keal Harry in the first round if he wasn't eventually going to be your number one wide receiver? And I know he's out for the first 8 weeks, but this isn't a deal with Antonio Brown for 8 weeks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like they went and got Antonio Brown for 8 weeks. I could see, once N'Keal Harry being back happens, I could see this being the exit of Josh Gordon from the Patriots.
Yeah.
Because I think AB works. I honestly believe that he got to where he wanted to go, and I believe he will shut his mouth and play football now.
Yeah, I think you're probably, there's a lot to that. Which, so they host the Steelers this weekend. We will get to our pick-ems today, by the way. I think we should probably talk about the team we chose, though.
Right. So if we go back to last week, I wanted the Raiders at this point. Your main dogs were the Jets. Mm-hmm. We had some other small ones like the Redskins and things like that. I have a hard time rooting for a team where Case Keenum's starting, and he is right now.
Right. Yeah, me too.
That's gonna be a no for me, dog.
They played themselves out with Keenum starting, for me.
Right. Yeah. It's weird because I like the Raiders more without AB now. I'm glad that's over. And it would almost be like I'm rooting for them more now because I want to see how they bounce back from this.
Yeah.
But I don't – at this point, the only reason I would root for them is because I want Derek Carr to keep his job.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And honestly, yeah, I feel for John Gruden as well. But
yeah, me too.
Honestly, without AB, they're actually less intriguing to me as far as being the sports program team.
Yeah, because that's what we kind of go for, you know, underdog slash, you know, interesting, too.
Interesting, and they have to be able to show some glimpses of hope, and I think we're another year out from the Raiders now. I think we're one more year away, and I think next year already they'll be a viable candidate for our team.
Yeah.
To me, I think we both know where our interests lie.
Yeah.
And that is with young Sam Darnold.
Yep.
And the J-E-T-S.
J-E-T-S, Jets. I want to see Bell. I want to see Sam Darnold. I want to see what they have. I've looked at their schedule. It doesn't look horrible. Honestly, it does not look horrible.
So
they can squeak a few of these wins.
2 years ago, I hyped the Rams. They exceeded my expectations. Last year, week one on the show and on the internet, and I got thrown over the coals for this because the Bears came out and surprised the Packers in the second half of week one, and everyone goes, it's week one, dog, you're talking a little early. But what I said was, they are this year's Rams. This year, I say the Jets are this year's Bears. I have passed the torch third year in a row.
The Jets have so you're saying the Jets have last year's Bears season.
Exactly. Like so maybe they win a playoff game. But I think they're going to be there now.
Okay. I think it's a fair guess. So that means for the pick'em, as long as they're not playing a team that I root for, like Pittsburgh, I will be most likely taking them in quite a few games. So my hope for the sports program team. So you say they're last year's Bears. I say they're. My hope would be for them to be this year's. I hope they have a better season than the Browns.
Right, more than 7 wins.
No. I'm saying I hope they are better than the projected best team ever created, Browns, of this year. Well, I want the Jets to be better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to root for.
That's going to be tough because I think some people think the Browns are this year's Bears. But
Right.
I think it's the Jets.
They can go 8-8, at least.
The more I've kind of been looking at things, there's some other teams I have on this I actually believe can win more games than what we've talked about over the last 4 weeks.
Sure, yeah.
But I will let the pick'ems show that.
Yeah, we're in pick'em season now. We don't have to speculate so much now. Pick'em season, absolutely. Baby!
So which, the Jets are the official team of sports program. We don't have to dwell on it too much because we're going to talk about their game in just a bit.
No, it just means we'll finish out every show with a nice go Jets. Go Sammy. We'll figure it out.
We'll pepper in something. I'll let you take the lead on that.
Cool. I'll think of something between now and the end of the show. Speaking of the pick'em, I don't know if you saw, but this has got to be more people than last year.
We got a flock. We got to make sure that people stay up on it this time.
Yep, that's the thing. So
number one reason people quit, they forget 1 week and then they give up.
Yeah. We had a lot of people drop off last year. So you got to get on there every week. You got to choose every week. In fact, I want to meet a person that goes bold and does every week's pick'ems for the year. If you're not going to play every week, you might as well just go on there and choose every week's pick'ems.
Now?
Uh-huh. In fact, now that I'm kind of saying it, I almost kind of want to make a second like roster just for myself and go join another group and just do a preseason complete pick'em. That would be kind of fun. All right. But yeah, we will talk pick'em today. College football is going on right now.
Right. Clemson is taking it to Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those early season statement games where they're saying, you know, everyone thought we were the number one team in the nation, and we're going to prove it. Because I think Texas A&M is a very talented team.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people thought they were an SEC sleeper. I think that is, I've discussed it before, but I think that's LSU. Although they also have a statement game tonight against Texas.
Yes, they do.
And I don't think they win that game.
Ooh, bold.
Texas has that McConaughey fire today. I don't know if you watched game day.
Yeah, I did.
But watching McConaughey rip that LSU Tiger off of Herb Street's head.
Last night, not sports news, but we talk about them all the time, so we might as well mention it. Last night on SportsCenter, they had the Big Show with Dan and Keith. For I think ESPN's their 40th year anniversary. Did you see anything from that?
The only thing I saw from it is you sent me something on it.
Yeah, so I didn't know it was going on, but I follow all of the Danettes and Dan's show on Instagram.
Okay.
So I woke up to basically a barrage of all of them taking behind-the-scenes shows. And it was on SVP's version. It was on his show.
Right.
And they came in and sat in and did a SportsCenter.
I actually wish I would have watched it. I was out last night. I went to the Boise State game. Yeah. Also, real quick, Brian is on. And Brian, we did pick the New York Jets as the official team of sports program this year.
Yes, he is.
And that means he is due for an extreme uptick in wins this year. Because everyone knows we're great luck to everyone but Jay Cutler.
We're great luck to everyone but Jay Cutler. We were not good luck to Jay Cutler.
I don't think Jay Cutler was good luck to Jay Cutler, but a little too many practice cigarettes.
If he if he came back and played today, I'd still root for him. Whatever team he went to would be the new sports program team.
Absolutely. Well, or if Josh McCown was starting on a team.
Or if Josh McCown also was starting. If Josh McCown starts with the Eagles like halfway through the season, we might drop the Jets.
Yeah, what is... yeah, sorry, Brian. Also, I know Brian missed this, but I do have the Jets. Because last year I anointed the Bears as last year's Rams, and then they went on to deliver. The Jets are this year's Bears. We're passing the torch.
So, yeah,
and Brian says Cutler is my role model. Cutler, I really want a poster on the left side of my wall right here so you can always see. It's like I want to blow up the picture of him with a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah.
And I just want to put it right here because I've had this blank wall and I've been trying to figure out what to do with it.
That's a really good idea. You really should do that. That would be so cool. I think I think there's a little Jay Cutler in all of us. they say that when you look up at the stars at night, you can feel Jay Cutler looking up at those same stars.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that. If you've ever woken up in Oregon to just a beautiful foggy day, it's actually not fog at all. It's Jay Cutler's cigarette smoke, giving you safe passage all the way to work. Oh man, R.I.P. Jay Cutler. He's not dead, but he's just not in our lives enough anymore.
He really isn't. The only way you can watch him is you have to watch him on the reality show. It's just too bad.
Which is I'm just not going to do.
No. You sent me a text earlier today. I did not watch the game, but I am seeing that Maryland destroyed Syracuse.
Yeah, so Maryland, I always have to remind myself that Maryland is a Big Ten team, not an ACC or Big East team.
Yeah.
But they are a Big Ten team.
Yeah.
They have Josh Jackson at quarterback. They have a new coaching regime in place. Josh Jackson, the Virginia Tech transfer, looked amazing. I heard that the Virginia Tech locker room was just extremely toxic with some of the other young players there. So that's, I mean, they had more than 10 players transfer to other universities this year. But Josh Jackson is the important one to me. Because he takes Maryland from a 5 or 6 win team to a fringe 9 or 10 win team.
Yeah, that's cool.
They look like a no nonsense team. Now I have been fooled by the Terrapins in the past. They do like to start seasons with an upset or two and then fall into mediocrity.
Well, I mean,
I don't believe that is this team. It is a different coaching staff. It is a different quarterback.
Well, and at this point, I think their hope is just that at least they have a team where the coaching staff doesn't just work their players to literal death. So that's good.
Touche.
To literal death. So yeah. I did see something on, might have been Game Day, where they did talk about some of that with the past with Maryland, and a lot of those players played with that player, and they're still very. I guess they still reflect on it quite a bit. And
how could you not?
So, they're playing for something. I don't know. There's a story there. We'll see what happens this season, but there's a story there. But you did text me about that earlier, and I was like, oh, man, I got to go watch that. And then I was late and then got on the ESPN app and saw that they've really crushed Syracuse. So
we always talk about sneaky good teams in the NFL and NBA, and we never really do it in college football. Right. And Maryland is not ranked right now. That'll change by Monday.
Yeah, they'll
but
go 25.
They are the best unranked team, and I think they have a chance to be a top three Big Ten team.
And you went and watched Boise play Marshall?
I went and watched Boise play Marshall. Now, going into this, I thought it was going to be just a beatdown, and people
like
had to correct me and say, Marshall won their division last year. Marshall won 10 games last year.
Oh, I had no idea. I had no idea of that.
Yeah, no kidding. I was like, well,
I did not. If you would have held a gun to my head and told me how many games Marshall won last year, I'd be like, isn't Matthew McConaughey in a movie about Marshall?
And that's pretty much it.
That's
and
all
so,
I
It was 14-7. Now, Boise more than doubled, almost by the end of it, tripled them in total yards. It was not a close game as far as moving the football, and Marshall had no downfield passing game. So, yeah, they had a couple good – they had 116 rushing yards in the first half. They looked good there, but as soon as Boise adjusted to it and made them beat them through the air, they couldn't. Mm. Boise scares me in a way where I don't think their offensive line is going to hold up against better teams. Marshall's defense – was small, and they were getting a pass rush the entire game. Similar to the Green Bay-Chicago game that started the season off. Now, both of us had the Packers winning in case.
We did.
I know Brian hasn't watched the show in probably in a while, but me and you both had the Packers winning this game. That being said, the Bears' pass rush was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they were pressuring Aaron Rodgers the entire game.
I love a game where I can watch GIFs on Instagram of really fun things, and they showed those 5 sacks in a row of Khalil Mack just breathing down the throat of Aaron Rodgers. And I was like, man, the Bears might win that. They did not.
That being said, Brian asked the question, Green Bay defense that good, Chicago offense that crappy. Now, I didn't know about the Green Bay defense. I didn't know about these acquisitions in the offseason. I did notice when I was picking all of my fantasy teams that Green Bay's defense is up there, right? Like,
yeah.
Green Bay is one of those sneaky good fantasy defenses where you can pick them in the very last round and they're going to be there, even in like a 16, 18 round draft. And on paper, I kind of looked at the additions finally, like the day of the game, and I go, wow, these guys could be good. I also think both teams rested their quarterbacks throughout the preseason.
Yeah.
I just think both quarterbacks were rusty, but Mitchell Trubisky, when you force him to throw from the pocket, I think Chris Collinsworth commented on this, but I really don't like to listen to him.
Yeah, no one does.
Because he's fucking awful. But Chris Collinsworth noted that when you make him throw from the pocket, he likes to throw on the run. He does miss throws, and they threw 45 times. He completed maybe like 22 of them for only 200-something yards. I think the Packers defense front seven is much improved. I want to see how their cornerbacks play before I anoint them, for real, a top 10 defense. Now, top 10 fantasy, yes. They play the Bears twice a year. They play the Lions twice a year.
Yeah.
Probably just don't play them against the Vikings.
So, admittedly, on, what was that, Monday, we did our show.
Right.
I told Bree this actually today. When we did our picks for Thursday, you laughingly said, obviously I took the Packers. And when you laughingly, I wouldn't re-listen to that too. You laughingly were like, obviously I took the Packers, somewhat like something like that.
Yeah.
And I did that whole, I'm admitting this now, where I actually, I had taken the Bears. But your conviction from laughingly taking the Packers over the Bears made me go and change it while we were on the show. I was like, yeah, me too, right, everyone? And I was like, okay, this guy is way too convinced for me to take the Bears. And I am so glad I listened to my instinct to not listen to my original instinct.
Well, last year, week one, now it was in Green Bay, but I mean, they basically had to murder Aaron Rodgers to win that game.
Yeah.
And he still almost figured out a way to do it. I like Aaron Rodgers in any week one matchup. I like Aaron Rodgers in any Monday night matchup. I like Aaron Rodgers in any like primetime matchup in general. I'm probably going to pick the Packers in those types of situations. I also expected a big game out of Geronimo Allison, out of Scantling. I did not expect a big game out of Jimmy Graham, but he was their best offensive player that entire game. I've heard a few people, especially at work, talk about how he's just never really recovered from that injury he experienced in Seattle.
Go on. I'm trying to shoo a cat out of here.
But if you can go back to Jump Ball Jimmy, I've officially anointed him Jump Ball Jimmy.
Yeah. Okay.
If you can go back to Jump Ball Jimmy days, the Packers are scary everywhere.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice is, we can talk about the quarterbacks not playing in the preseason and being rocky. But Aaron, Aaron Jones, did not look like a starting running back during this game.
Yeah. No.
Darnold over Rodgers for real.
I would say, I mean, jokingly, I get it. I mean, right now, if I'm going to build my team, I know it's only a season in. If I'm going to build a team, I probably honestly would take Darnold over Rodgers right now.
Out of any of the quarterbacks from last year, I still believe that Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Not very many people agree. But I take Sam Darnold over Baker Mayfield every time.
Yeah.
The dude just creates offense. He's automatic offense. It's like a young Brett Favre, John Elway, where he's going to scramble and make the type of throw not a lot of people can make.
Yeah.
But also, Aaron Rodgers had a couple old school scrambling flip plays in the last game, and dude still got it.
Yeah, oh,
dude
yeah.
Still. I know he probably only had two good looking drives, but he put the championship belt on a couple times. I think some of us think we're a few years out from Sam Darnold, but I personally do not. I think this is a huge jump for him. I think he's ready for that like second year jump that I believe we saw with Carson Wentz.
I think he's.
I think we see something similar.
I think he's gonna have a big season. I also, while I'm still uncomfortable with everybody else, well, not every, but with a lot of components of the team, I actually am still keeping an eye on Josh Allen too. I just think Josh Allen could be a really good quarterback, eventually.
I mean, not it just all year. Comes down to accuracy. I think this year, there's a guy, he likes to go downtown. Some people also refer to him as his real name, John Brown, but to me, he is always downtown Johnny Brown. They did acquire John Brown to open the top off of defenses.
Yeah.
And they will use him. I also mentioned that because in three of my four fantasy leagues, he is on the waiver wire. Nobody picked him up. And he is exclusively there to get deep touchdowns.
That's good.
That expects Zay Jones to step up. They also drafted an eventual predecessor at tight end.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to be a few years out. But I see Josh Allen being the type of quarterback where he has some years where he keeps the touchdowns low, some years where they go up a little bit. Very similar statistically to what you would see with, like, I don't know, Jameis Winston or one of those guys who might have a 30 touchdown season, but then also all of a sudden he has an 18-19 interception season, you know.
Yeah.
We could be looking at a Winston situation where for the next 5 years we debate if he's the guy.
Sure.
But just kind of sticks around. You know what I mean? Some years are going to be better than others.
Well, you know, Ben.
I like him.
Ben historically throws a lot of interceptions, too, though. I mean, it's not to say that you can't be a good quarterback and throw a lot of interceptions. I actually. Yeah. Well, we both.
Well, Brett Favre did it his whole career, man.
Right. And while we're not huge fans of Colin Cowherd anymore, he does have an interesting point about quarterbacks like Ben and Aaron and. Because Aaron throws some interceptions, too. Those quarterbacks, though, take chances, though. And those take-chance quarterbacks ultimately, like statistically, will get more wins eventually. Whereas you have quarterbacks like Eli, who doesn't take a lot of chances, and you see what that looks like for the last few seasons. He doesn't take a ton of chances, so he'll eat the ball a lot. I mean, you watch Eli, he'll eat the ball a lot. He takes a lot
that
of
That's a super good point.
He takes
super
a lot of
point.
Negative yards because he didn't get the ball off. Whereas Ben, he doesn't always take a ton of negative yards, but he'll throw – you've seen it. I mean, Ben will throw some of the ugliest interceptions I've ever seen, but he's just trying to get the ball off. I don't know. I just think there's something to that. I'm not a math guy. I do appreciate somebody who will take some more chances rather than eating a bunch of negative yards, which that's Eli.
I completely agree. That's a very good point, I think. But that – almost goes back to Sam Darnold, right? Because he's a creator. That's what he does. He's the type of guy who can win you games, and that's why I like him over Josh Allen and Baker,
right.
Is that not only does he create like Josh Allen does, or Ben has done throughout his whole career, but he's going to do it a little bit more accurately than the rest of those guys. I would say actually more comparable to a Ben Roethlisberger.
And I think so, too. And I think that's one of the reasons why, like, so Touchdown Tommy, you know, he takes a million chances, too. The only problem is that Tom Brady is so fucking good at what he does. He doesn't throw as many interceptions. He gets it to people.
Well, and that is why Antonio Brown is going to eat in that 15-yard range.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be insane. Yeah. Now, as we've been doing this show, I just scrolled through and saw the Antonio Brown literally made a video to show him celebrating getting released from the Raiders. And
he also posted something too.
Well, he's officially a Patriot now, and I feel like they're not going to be okay with that kind of stuff. But we're already going to start to find out maybe day one how they're going to handle this situation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to be interesting. They could have been, I mean, if they weren't the reigning defending champions, I mean, they would be a team I would look after. I'm still going to watch them. You got to watch the Patriots. It's, you know, it's one of those things where everyone's kind of waiting now for that dynasty to be over. And I don't mean that as a negative and a I don't mean that as a negative only way. I mean, there are the people who hate the Patriots that are waiting for that to be over. But there's also their fans who know it is going to be over soon. It might not be this year. It could be next year. It could be a couple years. But they do know that Tom's on borrowed time. He's still healthy, but he gets older every year. So even the fans are waiting, I'd say waiting for it to be over. They know it's going to be.
My only dispute to that is, Tom Brady is not the end of this organization.
No.
If Bill Belichick is there, and I'm still on this hype train, Jarrett Stidman will take that team over, maybe even as soon as next year, and say they do re-sign AB after this. Say Josh Gordon does finally stay in the league.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harris does live up to the first round hype. Sony Michel doesn't get hurt. This team, with a different quarterback, could win a Super Bowl in the next 2 or 3 years.
That's kind of one of the reasons why I was hoping Brissett was going to stay there.
I don't think that Brissett would have had the same success that Jared Stidman's going to.
Okay.
And I think this...
What about Jimmy
this
G?
Time, 2 years from now, I also believe that Brissett will not be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
You're probably not wrong. What about Jimmy G if he would have stayed in New England?
Absolutely. But just timing-wise didn't add up.
Yeah.
We might have lost all of Jimmy G's 20s if he decided to stay.
That's
true.
Yeah.
So, we're already almost 40 minutes into the show, so I know it's almost pick 'em time. Real quick.
Okay.
I don't know how I've been able to keep the energy up. I watched the earliest UFC pay-per-view I've ever watched. I've watched earlier cards, last week when they were in China at 6 in the morning. But this week they were in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, wow.
And I watched it all the way up until this show started.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird because I actually bought the pay-per-view and watched it alone. So I spent $65 to watch a pay-per-view by myself. But
yeah, that's right. You're getting that big boy money.
Wanted to watch it. There was no way I wasn't going to watch it.
Yeah.
But
honestly, and it worked out too, because I had stuff going on this morning. So that was kismet, really.
Yeah. I thought it all worked out swimmingly. And I will say that they're getting to watch Paul Felder win the co-main event. Just a guy I'm a huge, huge fan of. Controversial win, whatever. It was still an amazing fight. It didn't matter who won. It was a great fight.
That's cool.
Getting to watch the Red Dragon, Paul Felder, the Irish Dragon.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's cool.
And he is not a Boston Irish guy either. He's a Philly Irish guy, which means I'm on board.
Oh,
let's go.
Okay, good.
But watching that was an exciting fight. There was
better
a couple
chance
really
for
exciting
less racism for
the the Khabib headliner was everything that I was wishing it wasn't and everything that I knew it would be. Just did the same thing he did to McGregor, took him down, dominated him. There almost looked like no hope at any point. Now, there was a few moments, one on the feet where Dustin socked him up a little bit, but he looked too tired to keep chasing and continue to pursue the finish, which was a bummer. And then there was the other in the third round where he went for a last-minute guillotine. Every time he tried to get that hook in with his left leg, it just seemed like, I mean, Abu Dhabi's the hottest place in the world, man. They're just sweating bullets the whole time. He couldn't keep the hook in because it was... Dude was so sweaty, his foot was just slipping off his back the whole time.
So not to cut in with WWE, but you know they were doing those Saudi Arabian pay-per-views. That's what they're saying about those too. They're out there trying to like perform, and it's 110 degrees.
Right.
And they're getting dehydrated down the ramp.
Well, yeah, with the humidity index, I believe, I don't want to butcher fancy science terms, but with the humidity index, they say it's like, it feels like 30 degrees even hotter than whatever it is. So can you imagine performing even for 5 minutes in 140, what feels like 140 degree weather?
Hats off to the fans for going to something like that.
Well, I mean, they live there. They're used to dressing a certain way. And it was very interesting to see, like, American fighters there, Russian fighters there they don't dress that way, and them trying to, like, you know, fit in with the culture. And I thought it was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed watching the event a lot.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that now no one even referenced the Heat the whole time, but no one blamed the Heat for their performance. Which maybe, you know, that's, you don't want to do that.
No.
Maybe they will down the road. But there was a moment in the second where Dustin caught him a couple times, and he just didn't chase him after he appeared to be rocked. And maybe that's why. But Dustin's post-fight, Khabib was amazing also. He, like, wore Dustin's shirt after the fight and said he was going to sell it, and all the money was going to one of Dustin's charities, and I thought that was all very cool. Dustin wore Khabib's shirt, which after the whole Conor McGregor fiasco with Khabib and Conor, I mean, it was nice to see two dudes go out there and really have respect for each other.
It's almost super surprising because of how things have been. Like, it's almost like, oh, this is not, there is some sportsmanship here.
Well, and Khabib's like, you know, that kind of stuff has no place in MMA. And obviously we knew it was all Conor generating it. Khabib just wants to go out there and be an athlete. And he's a 100% respectful dude. You know, he's all about his religion. He doesn't drink, and he just trains, and he's all about respect. So it was nice to see him fight someone who returned that respect. Now, I'm wondering how the numbers were for a midday noon fight in America, where the two guys didn't create any drama leading up to it. I would be interested to see how the numbers compare to some of the other fights where both guys hype it. But
they probably got a money from Abu Dhabi, though. That's one.
No kidding. Yeah. The money is there in other places. So who gives a crap if you're them? I will say that. You're right. Good point.
That's how they rule those things with those WWE events too. Those crown jewels and shit. They don't.
Yeah.
They're airing that at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, where people at work and no one watches those crown jewel events unless you're unemployed, which is probably a good percentage of wrestling fans.
Touche. But over there, they're making a killing, right?
But yeah, and then also, like, Saudi Arabia, to host them there is paying. They're paying it out. You know,
they're paying you just to show up, basically.
Right, yeah. So, and that's probably, they probably got a lot of that from Abu Dhabi too. Like, hey, bring this event here. Let's pay for it. You know, well, our fans want to see this too. You know. It's cool.
Agreed.
It's very cool.
Agreed. I was overall satisfied with the event. I thought it was a good experience to watch it. I'm excited for them to go back. But yeah, Dustin's post-fight speech, man, he was crying the whole time, and he's my second favorite fighter I probably ever had. So that was rough, and it is kind of sad to hear someone admit that, you know, this was their, like, pinnacle moment of their life. This is what they've been training for. He knew that's what he'd been training for, and he couldn't have been more prepared, admittedly.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even close to good enough to get the job done. Yeah. Like, that's hard to watch someone realize that, like, the pinnacle of their life was a huge defeat. So,
yeah,
it's even harder. That was hard. He did admit, you know, they're the same age. They're both only 30. Yeah. They're both only 30, so... I mean, he admitted he's got plenty of tread left on the tires. It's just,
yeah.
How long do you keep going knowing you can only ever be second best?
Yeah, that's true. Which, you know, speaks volumes for life in general. I always think, how long can I keep going knowing that I'm not even close to like the 6,000th best?
Right.
Just human.
He had a very good quote at the end of it, though, about being grateful for your successes and graceful and your failures. And
yeah,
he's a good dude. I mean, he's a dude. dude's been an underdog his whole career.
I think that was one of the things. I like a speech like that too. I mean, isn't that really the only good takeaway from the whole CM Punk experiment was actually the speech that he gave after he lost that first match?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that was an embarrassing loss, and it was cool that he was able just to go, like, you know, but fuck it. You know, like, I would have got out here and did my best, and, it, you know, it wasn't good.
Right. Yeah. So, anyways, I didn't want to spend too much time on it because, honestly, that final fight was rough. But Khabib is probably the greatest 155-pound champion of all time, and perfectly executed strategy. Hats off to him, although I will probably keep my hat on.
Yeah, though. You know what I'm going to do? Let's
get that pick'em going?
Let's do this.
Oh, guttural and masculine.
We got to do it. We got to play it while we do the pick'em.
Oh,
it's a rule. Here we are. This is it. Week one NFL. We've had one game. We were both right. Special thanks to...
Yeah, suck it. Anyone who was wrong.
Special thanks to everyone who has gotten on to play. Remember, it is not too late. This is only week one. Even if you...
Yeah, and you probably would have gotten Thursday wrong anyways, bud.
Yeah, and it's only week one. Even if you miss this week and you listen to, you know, listen next week, jump in and play. You may not win the whole pick'em, but, you know, you still get bragging rights for when you have a really good week. And we recognize that. When somebody wins the week, we point that out.
Yeah, and I just sent an email, an invite to a few coworkers, good. So we should have a few more joined in the next couple hours. I'm very excited for the year. Let's get this first pick in, because
let's do it.
I know what the first game we're supposed to be picking is, and Papa's excited.
Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons are in Minnesota with the Vikings.
Very tough game, because the Vikings look very healthy.
Yes, they do. They look very healthy. But... Because it is your birthday week, and I love you very much. You heard it on this show. Now you've heard it. You've heard me say it. I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons to win this game. Also, I want to throw in there, too. It's also because I'm not convinced on Kirk Cousins. Still not convinced on him. I don't care. I don't care about their defense. And because it's your birthday week, I'm going with your team. I am taking the Atlanta Falcons to win this game.
I think, besides for maybe the Green Bay Packers, the Atlanta Falcons will have the most improved defense. You know what? Let's go back. Better than the Green Bay Packers. Because they were already kind of good. Yeah. I already think that the Falcons will have the most improved defense this season. And their offense has more upside, period. As long as Freeman stays healthy. Julio Jones is going to play no matter how hurt he is, and he has got more money and deserves it. Second-year Calvin Ridley. Austin Hooper is going to occupy more of the middle. Sanu is back. Let's see how this offensive line protects Matt Ryan, because when they do, they are a terrifying team. They are going to win a lot of games this year. It starts this week. Falcons on the road.
All right. Bills are being hosted by the official team of sports program, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I am taking the Jets because that's our team. That's our favorite team on this show. That's the show's favorite team. Also, not to parrot myself from the last couple years now, but they're at home. The Jets are at home. I like at home better. The Bills, they're still struggling. They got Josh Allen. We still, you know, no one knows on that. What I do think happens, though, is I think Le'Veon Bell, in this first game that now he is playing with them, because he did not do preseason, I think he shows us exactly what he's been saying. He's been saying that while he has not been playing in the games, because why risk injury for stupid reasons, I think he shows us that he is as ready as what he's been saying. And I think Le'Veon Bell is going to run a clinic on this team.
So I actually think it's going to take a couple games for them to get Le'Veon going, but I do think he's going to run a clinic this season. As much as I've hyped the Jets this entire show, I do think it's going to take a week or two to figure it out. I originally actually thought that so much that I wouldn't say Bills offense struggling, by the way. I would say it still has some things to figure out. Because they have a lot of new additions as well. They just also have a lot of youth. I think the Bills are probably the second best defense in all of the NFL. So that made this even harder.
Okay.
But because it was a coin flip for me and the Jets are at home, I will also be taking the Jets. But if there was a decision I made this week, this is the number one I feel like I will regret.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think the Bills can win it on the road. I think it is going to take the Jets a few weeks to figure it out.
Okay. Titans at the Browns. Well, this is it. This will finally be the first test, right? The first test to see if the Browns are everything that everyone is saying that they are. I don't think the Titans are any team to overlook. I still have faith in Titans. I still have faith in Marcus Mariota. I still have faith in the team overall. I still think the Titans could very well, especially with luck out, I think they still have an opportunity to win their division, if not at least wild card into the playoffs.
Absolutely great defense.
And they have a great defense. This was actually kind of a toss up for me, but because it's in Cleveland, and it's like the defense against Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. But this is a really tough one for me. I went with the Browns because it's at home.
Right. It's an offensive versus defensive matchup for sure. I've heard many people talk about how bad both Tennessee Titans quarterbacks looked in the preseason so far. I have said this before. I don't think preseason matters. And I think Mariota's in a contract year. He also has Tannehill breathing down his throat. I think he will. This comes down to play calling, right? The Titans had a few games last year where I said, give him a throw down the field.
Yeah.
Because they're not calling them no matter what. It was like, what is he supposed to do if they're just not calling plays for him to show he can make those throws? Yeah. And he can make every throw. He's not one of those quarterbacks where he is limited by his arm in any way.
Right.
So are they going to be conservative now that their offensive coordinator is the Packers head coach? We'll see how the new guy does. So this can go two ways. I think if they let him air the ball out, one, it gives Henry a better chance to be the Henry we saw in the last 4 weeks, fantasy owners of last season. The same Henry that made a lot of people draft him way too early in fantasy this year. Yeah. Or is it going to be conservative play calling, which I think literally limits every single player on that offense, and then just Vabral hang his hat on defense? Because that is such a question mark, and we know what we're getting from the Browns, I believe, on offense.
Yeah,
and
I think so too.
I think their defense is going to be even better. I will not be picking the Cleveland Browns as much as people think this season, but I will pick them this week.
Okay. Fair. That's fair. I think that's fair.
I would love the Titans and the Bills to both prove me wrong.
Yeah. This game is actually an intriguing one because it's the Chiefs on the road against the Jaguars. The Jaguars are kind of a question mark, right? I feel like the defense is going to be – I think the defense is actually going to be back to where it was the year before.
Agreed. I'm 100% with you, and that addition of Josh Allen in the first round is insane. Kentucky Josh Allen, by the way.
Kentucky Josh is what we're now calling him. I think wholeheartedly the defense is back where it is. But our question mark is of course with Nicholas Foles. Is Nicholas Foles an actual, for real, no shit starting quarterback, or was it just magic with the Eagles? I think that's.
I like the way you worded that.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like that's the question I've been asking myself. Like, can I get behind Nick as a starter now? He's a Super Bowl winner. I like him more than Bortles. I think they'll be a better team. I think they're a better team now, obviously, than last year, but I think they're a better team now without Bortles as well. Because he was a question mark the whole time anyways. Now, they're hosting the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, I believe they've improved their defense from what it looks like in the offseason.
Yeah.
Which was probably their weakest point last season. I went with the Chiefs in this game on the road, but this was a hard one for me to take because I wanted to pick the Jaguars at home.
Right.
But I also, I'm still unsure of Nick Foles as their starter right now. And I am definitely sure of Patrick Mahomes.
So I think week one for these pick-ems is the hardest week because we, like you said, there's so many things to be unsure about. There's so many question marks with all these new players on new teams. Yeah. Not only that, but teams that are the same as they were last year, but they just made some tweaks, like the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like, what are we going to get from any of these guys? The Jaguars at home 2 years ago was impossible to pick against. Impossible to pick against. And now they have a better quarterback. And now D.D. Westbrook looks like he's the number one wide receiver. And it looks like Shark is one of my ultimate fantasy sleepers as their first round pick or second round pick last year at wide receiver. Going to be a sneaky good player if he stays healthy. Yeah. But to me, that's the question mark here, is the health of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do they keep Leonard Fournette healthy? Is Shark going to play? Is he going to be a real wide receiver number two to D.D. Westbrook? And what type of play calls are they going to call for Nick Foles? Because I don't know. So I will also take the Chiefs on the road. We are, we've agreed on everything so far.
Oh, yes, we have. Rams at the Panthers. This is ranked for my number one game that I do not give a shit about.
I won't watch it. I won't even watch the highlights of this game, except for I will.
I mean, I'll watch the highlights. I will not watch the game. I do not care about either of these teams. I do not think the Rams sniff the playoffs this year. But I don't know if it's in this game. This is a tough one for me. I am going with the Rams in this one. Is Cam Newton playing? Is he in? Does it matter? He's playing hurt. Already.
He's always playing hurt, though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with the Rams on this one because they're still the return. You know, they went to the Super Bowl. I hate taking this many road games, like road teams, to go play. But for the Panthers, I don't know if I care if they're at home. I think the Rams could probably squeak away a win in this one.
So I would love if the Rams won this game.
Sure.
I would love if the Panthers got off to a terrible start. I would love if Cam Newton looked like he was going to have a bad year right off the bat. I think we see an uptick from Greg Olsen this year from last year. I think that Christian McCaffrey looks even better as a running back. Yep. I think between DJ Moore and Samuels, they have quite the intriguing wide receiver core. They are at home, and that is another reason to like them. I think the Rams are going to baby Todd Gurley too much week one, and it's going to cost them on the road.
Okay.
I am taking the Carolina Panthers. I actually knew you would go Rams on this, so I was like, I have the leg up here.
Okay, perfect. Mixed emotions on the next one, Ravens at the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
Mixed emotions here because I want the Ravens to lose every single game because they are a rival of my Steelers, and I do not want them to win games. Mixed emotions here because I want the Dolphins to do poorly, especially Fitzmagic, who I actually do like, but I do want him to lose and lose bad because I want Josh Rosen to be their starting quarterback.
Right.
So, that said, I just feel like overall, I don't care if it's in Miami. I think overall the Ravens are just a more solid team. I think it's pretty hard for me to root against them in this game. So,
yeah.
And because I want to win pick 'em, I'm going to take the Ravens.
Make the smart pick, not the pick you want.
Yeah.
I completely agree, so I'm not going to say a lot on it. I'll just say that if you play fantasy football, I think Mark Andrews at tight end eats, and as well as Mark Ingram, the Marky Mark and the Funky Fresh crew, they go to town this game.
Perfect. That was a good one. Redskins at the Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles at home.
Eagles at home.
You can talk about it.
I think the Redskins are probably going to have a little bit of a rocky start. I do like their defense. I do like Geis.
Yeah. I do too.
I think when you have three quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Yep.
So they're in Philadelphia. That's what it boils down to. Yeah. Eagles defense is very good. Go Eagles.
Yeah. Bengals at the Seahawks. Man, this is kind of like the last one. I'm going Seahawks at home. I just – any way I look around it, I just don't see the Bengals going to Seattle and walking away with a win. Seattle still has one of the best home field advantages in the league. Seattle looks a ton better than even last year, and last year they were not bad. As you know, and as our listeners know, I have taken the Seahawks to at least wild card to the Super Bowl, if not win the division. And I also hate the Seahawks, so it's hard for me to say that.
I think the Seahawks win the division. I'm interested in the Bengals this year. Because yeah, as much as I sit around thinking about the teams that could come out of nowhere, two teams that I think are bad, but also you never know what the NFL could just all of a sudden have a turn. Maybe because they finally changed their coaching, right?
Did they get rid of Marvin?
I thought they did. I believe this is the year where they might have just a little bit of a refresher as far as, you know, new blood coming in and changing things up. So in that way, it makes them scary. AJ Green's hurt, though. Yes, Boyd is good, but I'd like to see AJ Green fully healthy, Tyler Eifert fully healthy before I start picking the Bengals to win any games. And it's in Seattle. Come on. It's a bad team in Seattle.
Yeah.
Seahawks.
Colts are at L.A. with the Chargers, the other L.A. team. Without Luck, I'm less likely to take the Colts, but especially with them on the road in, well, now at home, with the Chargers. It was just hard for me to go against Uncle Phil at home with the Chargers over, you know, Jacoby Brissett, who I actually like, but, I mean, without Luck, I just think there's too much going on there with Indianapolis right now for them to be winning this game. I'm not ruling them out completely for the season yet. I don't think they're going to be the worst team.
No, but, they could still be better than the Jaguars and Titans.
They could be. So I don't want to, like, give, like, slew too much hate to the Colts because I like the Colts and I like Brissett, so. But I'm gonna go Chargers at home, easy
yeah,
for me.
I mean, I think it'll be an intriguing running back situation for them, especially like I mean, I don't think they need Melvin Gordon personally.
No.
And Eckler, if you're like a PPR fantasy guy, is great, but I think in real life football, Justin Jackson is going to carry the rock well. Mike Williams at wide receiver is going to have a much bigger year. I love Hunter Henry, and I love that defense. I will probably pick them every home game, except for it's going to be a coin flip when the Chiefs come there.
Sure. Giants at the Cowboys at home. Jerry Jones is feeling, what, $100 million lighter?
He's feeling way lighter than that if you add up all the contracts.
That's true. I do think that because I really do think that that deal is key to the Cowboys' success this season, and I just don't see the Giants going to Dallas with a win.
Neither do I. Speaking of contract years, which I've mentioned a few times now, Dak still hasn't gotten his money, so I think him and Amari Cooper are going to go out there and prove a thing or two.
Sure.
We will see. It is officially, right, the offensive coordinator debut of Kellen Moore. Starting the year.
Yeah, which I do like. I like that. That's cool.
A couple of Boise State players on defense, too. Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Dallas likes Boise, man. Dallas likes Boise.
The defense got paid. The defense got paid for a reason.
Yeah.
Those players got paid for a reason. Running backs aren't really like other, like quarterbacks, where once you overpay a quarterback, they kind of fall into mediocrity. I believe that Ezekiel, for the next couple years, it's just going to be prime time, Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Cowboys at home. I won't dwell on that one too much. No.
Lions in Arizona. For me, coin flip game, mostly because I just still don't think the Lions are there, and nor do I actually ever think they will be, now that I'm really just being realistic. I just don't think... If we could give the Browns crap for being the world's worst franchise, but I mean... Hands down, it's the Lions. That said, I'm going to say it now. Maybe I'll eat a big old humble pie. I don't think Kyler Murray's an NFL quarterback. I just don't think so. I watched some of the preseason stuff. He's small. He's as small as we said. He's small, but he's not even like fast enough. I mean, he didn't look fast enough to even make up for the smallness. I mean, he's got NFL linemen running after him, and they're pretty close. It's hard for me to take the Cardinals in this one. Maybe Kyler Murray ends up being a great quarterback one day, but he doesn't have enough around him. That said, the Lions are still a turd, but I'm taking the Lions in Arizona.
This is I'm anointing this week's dumpster bowl. every week we'll have a new dumpster bowl, and this is just the dumpster bowl of the week. That's a stone cold lock there. Of that, it will be a close game, a very close game. Yeah, I believe I see this game being like 28-24. I will go in favor of the Detroit Lions. I think that on Arizona's side, they're going to run the ball with David Johnson. Good luck stopping that. I do like their defense at times, but I think that Matt Patricia saw what you saw in the preseason, and he will be dialing up a pass rush that is going to give Kyler Murray a very hard time. I also believe that Matthew Stafford will be frequently checking into the Galladay Inn. I think Galladay is going to have a huge game at wide receiver. I like him. I actually don't think that Detroit's a 100% flaming piece of shit, because they do have talent.
Yeah.
All over. They have talent all over.
Both sides.
I just don't like. Yeah. At the end of the day, I like Matt Patricia as a defensive coordinator, not a head coach.
Yeah.
So I don't think. And they're in a tough division. But I do like them in this game quite a bit.
49ers at Tampa Bay. The 49ers, I still don't know. But the 49ers have a lot of talent too. It's just, I don't know about Jimmy G. That's it. I mean, that's honestly, yeah, I just don't know. He's right. Playing. That's exciting. That said, I do know about Jameis Winston, so I'm taking the 49ers in Tampa Bay.
I think this is a very close game. I think either of these two teams could surprise people this year. I think this is a straight up pick 'em game. Name of the game. It's a pick 'em game. You could flip a coin and either team could win. I do think Tampa Bay will be much improved on offense this year. I think if there was anyone to coach the team, they found the right guy in Papa Bruce. But I think San Francisco, we are finally going to see the offense we wanted to see with Jimmy G. The one we saw at the end of the year, the first year they got him.
Yeah.
They seem like they have exactly, maybe not the best names as far as weapons in the league, but Kyle Shanahan's got his guys now. With Goodwin and Pettis and Uncle Tevin at running back. And I do think Tevin does take that job. And Kittle is going to this is his year.
Yeah.
So that their team for overall success depends on defense. But this game in particular, Tampa Bay doesn't have one. They are going to eat. I wouldn't be surprised if San Francisco has scored 35 points.
I will say I hope that Jimmy Garoppolo has learned a little bit from last season, though. It takes a few less risks for a few extra yards. We'll see him run out of bounds a little bit. Let's see him quarterback slide. Let's see him, you know, avoid taking big old hits. Hopefully he's learned a little bit from that. Pittsburgh at New England. Now, my bias will show. I am taking Pittsburgh. I'll start off with that. I am going to take them. I said that last week. But I do have some good reasoning to go into it this time. First off, you had mentioned a good candidate for most improved defense would be Atlanta Falcons. I think the Steelers could be right there with them. I think the Steelers could have a... They did a lot of stuff in the offseason. I feel like they could really have a lot better defense this year. Little surprised that Bush is not starting for them on defense. I was pretty surprised to see that. I thought he looked good in the preseason. So, and for them to draft him so high, I was a little shocked at that. That's not to say I don't think he won't. He couldn't be a starter in this season or next season. I was just a little surprised on that, but they see something there that I don't, so that's okay. I think a huge weight's been lifted off the team, though, right? Nobody's talking about their locker room. Nobody gives a shit. That's awesome. That's great. They got rid of Antonio Brown. Probably the best thing that could have happened for that team. As far as like that drama that goes behind that, regardless of how the game plays out, Ben needs to shut up on his radio show, on his radio appearance. He needs to stop doing that. He won't, but he needs to. On the other side, though, New England, what we've seen the last couple seasons, though, is New England is a little slower in the beginning of the season. By the end...
They are, yeah. No, agreed.
September New England is a team that I want my Steelers to face. Not necessarily in New England, but this is the New England that I want them to face. I do not want them playing New England in December. Or November. You know, like later in the season, which is usually when they play. This was actually kind of surprising that this game was week one. So that said, I am taking the Steelers to maybe sneak away with a not ready New England loss in this season.
Yeah, so there's also some tight ends that are out for the Patriots. They all seem to be getting suspended at the same time.
Yeah.
And Sony Michel, 1 year into his career, already seems a little banged up. Not only that, but they're the Patriots, man. That's why they start off slow. It's not just because they treat the first couple weeks like a preseason, which they do, but it's also because at the beginning of every year, they're just coming off of a Super Bowl appearance, and they have a target on their back,
right.
And that's ultimate motivation for the opposing team.
Right.
So you're right. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have an absolutely fantastic chance of winning this game, but a part of my mind is telling me that maybe this is finally the year we see the Patriots come out swinging game
right.
one. I know that's not wise of me. I think a lot of people have adapted your train of thought on this and have switched their picks to the Steelers to the point where it's only 59% odds in favor of the Patriots, and that's probably strictly because it's at home. But I do like the Patriots to come out a little hotter this particular year. I don't know. I feel like they're going to do it for their fans, do it for their city.
Yeah, I mean, it's at home in New England, it was still even tough for me. It's just last year, I took other teams over the Steelers, and it just didn't feel right. So, spoiler alert for this season, I'll be taking them every single week.
Yeah, I honestly, even with you saying that, I don't think this is a biased pick. I think a lot of people will pick the Steelers. Yeah. I'm just personally
go against not the grain, baby. It. Go against the grain. Yep. All right, my phone quieted down here. You can intro the next one.
Okay, we have the Texans going to New Orleans, and hands down, what I would call the motherfucking game of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is amazing. It is the early Monday night game because we get two week one.
Monday night games.
Well, if you paid attention to last week's show, I had Houston in as my Super Bowl team for the AFC. And honestly, I probably would have had the Saints, but I think you got them before I did. So this could be a too soon Super Bowl preview.
Could be.
Honestly, it's two of the teams with the highest odds. I will say if we would have done the show today instead of this time last week, I probably would have picked the Patriots to go back.
Yeah.
And I probably am changing it right now to that. But that's why they were too soon last week. That's why they're called too soon picks, because I made it too soon. back to this game. Saints at home. I mean, for the Texans, look for Will Fuller to have a big game as their number two wide receiver. Hopkins will have a great game. Texans defense come out swinging. First game without Clowney. But because of no Clowney and because I don't know who's what they're going to do for their running back now, and it's just in New Orleans. Better offense, better defense.
Yeah.
We're slowly starting to see them take less and less every year off of Drew Brees' hands. And I think that is appropriate to do. Sean Payton is a genius play caller.
Yeah.
I like the Saints at home.
Yeah, the Saints too.
This just seems like an easy decision in ways, even though it's two very good teams.
Second Monday night game. Denver at Oakland. In the last season in Oakland. Final season in Oakland. Next season, they will be the Vegas Raiders.
Absolutely. Pretty crazy. That sounds weird to hear. It almost seems like some gimmicky weird thing. Yeah.
It almost sounds like something out of a movie where there's a fictional team. That said,
or actually better one, it sounds like one of the newly announced XFL teams.
It actually does. If the Raiders were going to be at Denver, I would say hands down Denver at home. Joe Flacco is a Bronco now. That's weird.
I kind of like their offense, to be honest.
Yeah, so do I. I took the Broncos in this game, but it was mostly just because of everything that's going on with Oakland right now. I just think there's too much noise, and as somebody who witnessed it all last year with my own team, I think Oakland's gonna have a rough season. I really do. I'm rooting for them to win it though because I want Derek Carr to be secure.
Yeah.
But I think the Broncos could probably squeak away a win here. I'm interested to see what Joe Flacco does.
Absolutely. I think there's interest in both quarterbacks in this game. I know Denver is favored by less than a field goal in the game.
Yeah.
I know the spread has changed over the last couple days in favor of the Broncos, I believe, from the Raiders. Maybe not. Either way, I actually consider this, because of all the noise, because of everything that's happened, and because they have been already used to practicing without Antonio Brown.
That's true. That's very true.
I believe that this will be, I don't think the Raiders win a lot of games this year, but I believe this is a motivation game. I believe they have plenty of fire under their asses to go out there and have a really hard-fought Monday night battle at home to open the season, final year in Oakland. I don't know. I just like all the energy behind that.
I could have went either way on this one, by the way.
Agreed. I'm worried out for both teams about the weapons on the outside. I'm talking about people on the outside of wide receiver. I think both teams are going to come out with their young running backs and run the ball very well. I think both teams are going to find their tight ends over the middle continuously.
Yeah.
But this comes down to what team makes a big play on the outside. That being said, I like Derek Carr over Joe Flacco to have that one big play that wins the game for the Raiders.
I cannot believe Joe Flacco is in Denver. It's still just so surreal, honestly.
When that happened, honestly, it made sense.
I mean, it did make sense, but it's still just to hear it out loud that Flacco isn't retiring a Raven. You know, it's just super.
It's weird to see him in the orange, especially his picture has that orange Broncos uniform now. That's the weirdest part to me, is just looking at it.
Yeah, it's bizarre. But here we are. That's it. That's the pick'em.
That was fun.
Make sure you jump in, man. That felt good. It felt right. You know.
I have a sports boner right now.
I do. I do too. Yeah. Thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate everybody who tunes in every week to see what we think on games. I love how many messages I get on Facebook. How many texts I get of people asking me my opinion on things. I literally am just a guy that watches games from his couch, and I think it's awesome that this show has somehow made people listen to our opinions on sports. I think that's so fun. I've always wanted that. Granted, there are people who don't have sports shows who know so much more than I could ever possibly know. But I really appreciate everybody that chimes in every week and now playing the pick'em with us. Very cool. We have awesome support. Make sure you check out Wednesday shows, which are now LC Sports Talk with Derek and Alicia. I think we're going to get Zach coming on one of those fairly soon via the phone. But those have been a lot of fun, too. Those have been a really good time, actually. Just talking LC Sports. Today was the Roundup Parade. That was pretty cool. I don't have much else. What do you got?
I don't know. I appreciate y'all. Same thing that you just said. Like,
ditto.
If one person watches any show, I feel lucky.
Yeah.
So, and I appreciate all the comments and everything too.
The show will be up this weekend. It'll be up before. I'll probably work on it this evening. So, it should be up before tomorrow's games. So,
hell yeah.
Thank you everybody for listening. We appreciate it, and Have a great weekend. Oh, J-E-T-S, Jets, 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 the official team of sports program. Go Sammy. I'm going to go with that right now.
Cool.
Go Sammy.
Go Big Green.
I wish McCown was still there, too. Just as as football dad, you know? That'd be cool. Thanks, everybody.